All right, we're going to start here at the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph on the first line. Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Nikva Kenafa, if it has punctures like a sieve. Now here we're talking about the windpipe. And if around the windpipe, we know that a slice or a cut into the windpipe, it requires the rove of it to be sliced in order for it to be a trefa. But instead of it being sliced, it's punctured by holes like a sieve, meaning multiple holes that run along the windpipe. So mitzdarfim l'rova, then they are mitzdarif. You count up all the holes, and if the holes together add up to a rov, then it'll be pasul. I mean, it has the same din as a regular gargaret, the regular windpipe, which is that the rov of it has to be problematic before it's a treifa. Now, meitiv Rav Yirmiyah, ubugol golet, sheish ba negev. We're talking about the skull that has a hole in it. Echad aruch, afil yesh ba nikavim harbe. Even if it's a single problem or cut, or it's multiple holes, mitzdarfim lemalei makdeach, or melo makdeach. They are mitzdarif to a size of the surgeon's drill. So this is dealing with the skull. This is not really our issue right now. But if you have a puncture in the skull, it has to be the size of malei makdeach to make it a trefa. And that's not only when it's in a single location, that's even if they are multiple holes in the skull, they add together, we put them together to add up to the amount that is needed to reach that threshold. So Alma, from this we can conclude, Kevin Dishura Malei Makdeach, since the shiur for the skull to be a trefa is the amount of a chisel or drill of a surgeon, Lamalei Makdeach Mitztarfim. And therefore, since that is the shiur, the holes add up to that shiur. Hachanami, also in our case here by the gargaret. Kevin Dishure Ki'isar, the shiur of a cut in the windpipe that makes it pasul is actually the size of a coin, an isar. So the kise are mitzdarfim. Then all these holes here should add up to be an isar. So the basic problem that we're presented with over here is that we have two shiurim that are being used for the windpipe. We have one shiur that's used by the windpipe, which is defined by rov, and that says that a rov makes it pasul. The other shear that we know by the windpipe is the size of an isar, the size of a coin. The question now is, when it has many holes in it, which one of those shearim governs? Is it the rove that governs, or is it the isar that governs? On top of that, there's a separate question which will be answered in the same breath when they answer the first question that we posed, is when is it by rove, and when is it by isar? How do you reconcile between these two different shearim? Why are there two different shearim when it comes to the windpipe? So ishtematte, the questioner here forgot about this. Hadamar Rabbi Chelbo Amar Chamar Guri Amar Rav. They forgot about this thing by Rav that nikavim sheish ben chisaron. If you have holes that have pieces of the windpipe missing, then mitzdarfim leki isar. V'she'ein b'ayin chisaron. On the other hand, if they are holes without a chisaron missing, mitzdarfim ruba. Then they add up to a rov. So the answer here is the difference in these shiurim depends on what's causing the trefa. Obviously, the windpipe can be a trefa for two reasons. It can be a trefa because it was sliced. It was cut. In the case that it was cut or sliced, there's nothing missing from the windpipe. The reason that the windpipe is pasul is because it was cut or severed. On the other hand, the other possibility of it being a problem with a gargaret or windpipe is the fact that it's actually missing. Pieces of the windpipe are missing. So the difference will be, what is the shiur when it comes to the trefa of the windpipe? If you're missing pieces are taken out and missing, then it's the size of an isar, the size of a coin. On the other hand, if it's simply sliced, then the shiur will be rov. And that's the answer. If you have holes that have chisaron in them, then they'll add up to an isar's worth in order to make it into a trefa. On the other hand, if you just have a slice or cuts in the windpipe, then those cuts will add up to the size of a rove. So it depends what's creating the psul here in the windpipe. If it's something that is missing from the windpipe, then isar will be the governing shiur. If it is simply slices or cuts without anything missing from the windpipe, then rove will govern. Either way, the nikavim, the holes, will add up to that amount. So the statement of Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav, nikva kenafa, that case where there were holes in it, like a sieve, those holes were without a chisaron. And therefore, mitzdarfim deruba, therefore they need a rove in order to make it pasul. So, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rav Yoshua ben Levi, nitla hamena ritzua, mitzdarefet leki isar. So, if you have a, call it a strip's worth of the gargaret that is missing, that is mitzaref for the sides of an isar. So now, instead of talking about a cut or a slice that's along the horizontal of the windpipe, along the lines of the trachea, instead we're doing something that is vertical, that's running along the vertical line of the trachea, against the grains of the trachea, so that it's sliced vertically. In that case, the amount that has to be missing is the amount of an isar, that you have to add it up. Now, the isar is a round coin, and here we have a long strip that is cut. So what we do is we take the long strip and we round it out and pull it together to see if it'll be the size of an isar, and that'll be the determining factor with regards to whether it's pasul or not, or a treifa. Bimini Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, nikva kenafa mahu. If it has punctures in it like a sieve, what's the din? Amar le hari amru nikavim shesh ben chisaron mitzterfim lekisar. Shein ban chisaron mitzterfim leruva. We already answered that question. We already addressed that issue. Depends on what type of holes you're talking about that it has in it, like a sieve. If the holes in it are like a sieve and they're missing, they've actually missing parts of the gargaret of the trachea, then they will add up to the size of an isar. On the other hand, if you simply have cuts in the windpipe, again, along the horizontal of the windpipe, then you'll have a din on rov. That din and rov, when you add them up to see if you have the rov of the circumference of the windpipe in order to make it into a trefa. And then, obviously, the case that we just dealt with was if it's cut along the vertical of the windpipe. And here, again, there's chisaron, because it's nitla. Nitla means there's actually a piece missing when it's cut along that vertical. Then the size is an isar. And again, even though the isar is round, you'll take the line and you'll round it out and put it together to see if it fits in or covers the area that would be encompassed by an isar by the coin. Now the Gemara says, ba'ofa mai. What's the din by a bird? The problem of using an isar by a bird is that if you take a coin's worth, there's not much of the windpipe of the bird left. When you're talking about an animal, a large animal, then an isar's worth is a portion of the windpipe. When you're talking about a bird, an isar's worth is just too big to be considered the trefa for a bird. So what is the threshold when you have these chisaron, or these holes in it, by the bird? How do we determine when it's a trefa? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani l'didi mafarshli minei de Rabbi Eliezer. I always explained this position of Rabbi Eliezer, and that is, this is what you do. Mikaflo u'menicho piakane, im chupa et rov hakane trefa, bimlav ksheira. The way to do this, and the way Rashi explains this, is we take the area on the bird's windpipe, where the holes are found, where these punctures are found, and we carve it out. You carve out that area. Now, when you carve out that area, you carve out not only the areas that have holes, but, as Rashi says, the malay between them, the actual solid windpipe that's in between them. So when you take it out, you're not just taking out the air spaces, but opposed to before, when we're just looking at the measurements based on what the holes created, the empty space. Over here, you're going to slice out, you're going to carve out an area around where the holes are that look like a sieve. And once you've taken that out, you're going to go place that in the circumference of the windpipe. If you take the circumference of the windpipe after you've sliced that piece out and you stick it in, you'll see if it covers the rove. If it covers the rove of that area that is incorporated by the circumference of the windpipe. So that's how you'll determine in a bird. As opposed to using a standard isar, which would be the determination by the behemah, by the oaf, by the bird, will go and carve it out. They'll carve it out, as Rashi says, including the nikavim and the shalem that's between them. And with that, you'll place it into the circumference, the opening of the windpipe, and see if it covers the rove of the windpipe, then it'll be a trefa. If it's less than the rove of the windpipe, then it won't be a trefa. Now, Rashi doesn't explain to you exactly how you do this. What happens if it's not exactly shaped like the windpipe? How do you work that out? Do you just take the circle and place it in? If it goes over the halfway line, then it's problematic. Or do you have to reshape this piece that you've cut out so it fits into the windpipe to see if it comes across the rove? Seems to me that would be the most logical way, although Rashi really doesn't go into so much detail about how to do it. But that would seem to be the approach that you would take, is you carve out the holes with the space in between them. You put that together, fill it into the circumference of the opening of the windpipe, and see if it covers the rove more than halfway down on the windpipe. And I think you would have to reshape it to fit into the windpipe and see if it covers more than rove there. And that's what would be the trefa by an oaf. Amar Rav Papa, v'simanech, the siman, to remember this, is nafyo. Nafyo is the sieve. Pneumonic that will help you remember what the din is by the oaf. As Rashi says, Kein shosim anafesh, minichim sham yiriot, zanavasus, al pi hogel. How do you make a sieve? You make a sieve by taking the filter and placing the filter over a solid ring. The solid ring gives shape to the sieve. And then Rashi calls it horsehair, which is what they're using to filter. You place the horsehair basket around the form, the circle form, and that gives you your sieve. So too over here, you're going to take the cutout piece, the sieve, which is the part of the windpipe that has holes in it, and you're going to place it up into the circumference of the trachea, like the circle form that holds the sieve. You're going to place the filtering part, the part with the holes in it, into it. And that's how you remember what the din is by the oaf. Right now, the next question is nifchata kedelet. It was opened up. The windpipe is opened up like a door. So there is a puncture in the windpipe, but the piece that is punctured is still there. It's still there, but it's open, like a flap that can open up and close, go in and out. What's the din by that? So Amar Rav Nachman Kadeshi Kanes Isar Lerochbo. If a coin can slide in sideways, if a coin can go in, not like you're depositing a coin into a machine, but rather it can slide in sideways, then that delet already is big enough that it makes it into a trefa. So you have to take the coin and slide it into the doorway. If it can access the doorway and go through the doorway, then that is big enough to be considered a trefa. Nistika, in a case that there is, rather than what we saw before, nitla haymenu ritzu'ah, which was a longwise vertical cut in the trachea. Over here we're talking about something that is nizdak along the orka, which is along the length of the windpipe. What you have here, as opposed to, let's say, when you cut across the horizontal of the windpipe, the windpipe has pressure from both ends. It's attached up at the top by the larynx and to the mouth. On the bottom, it's attached to the lungs. So there's tension in the trachea. So if there's a slice, that is the rove, the tension will pull the trachea apart and make the hole expand so that it'll be visible and it'll cause it to be a trefa. If, on the other hand, you slice along the vertical, the tension will actually cause it to seal up. Because since you're cutting the vertical and the tension is from the two vertical ends, it'll cause the slice to press itself back together. So the question now is, when you have this nistika, what's the din? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Afilu nishtar be'el chulya achat damala, v'chulya achat damata ksheira. Rav says, as long as on the mugut, Rashi brings down two different interpretations of this. If along the windpipe, you have the trachea, each one of the tracheal rings make up the whole windpipe. So Rav is suggesting here, as long as there's one ring at the top, meaning up towards the area where it's attached to the, let's call it the kova, to the shipuya kova, and one ring at the bottom before it reaches the lungs, as long as one in each end is intact, that is fine, and it will not be a trefa, because the tension will keep this stack, will keep this crack sealed. So obviously we're talking about a case where there's no chisaron over here. There's nothing missing, and it's along the vertical, so the tension of the windpipe will cause it to seal up. So as long as there's one whole ring at the top and one whole ring at the bottom, that'll be kasher. That's one interpretation. Rashi brings a second interpretation that's based on what we saw in Menachot. If you remember in Menachot, when it talked about the tzitzit, it called something a chulia. And a chulia was a series of items. And a chulia is comprised of three together, three strings together, or three loops together. So over here too, Rashi suggests that maybe a chulia is actually three rings at the top and three rings at the bottom. That you actually need three rings that are solid at the bottom and three rings that are solid at the top in order for the stock, for the crack, all the way along the vertical to not be a problem. Those are the two possibilities about Rashi's interpretation of what Rav said. So Amruah Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. They brought this memra of Rav before Rabbi Yochanan. And Amar Machulia Uma Chulia. Yochanan says, where did this chulia thing came up from? What is this chulia thing that Rav is mentioning? So either, again, according to Rashi, whether it means one ring at the top at the bottom, or three at the top, three at the bottom, Rav says, why do you need that at all? It's enough if it has a mashu. As long as there's any solid ring circumference at the top, and any solid ring of circumference at the bottom, both of those together will make it kasher, as long as the stock does not puncture those two areas, or does not cut through the top and the bottom of a mashu. So that's when they said in the name of Rav to Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, Amru Kameh to Rabbi Yochanan, Mishmeh to Rabbi Yonatan. Hachi, the way that Rabbi Yochanan formulated, they brought in the name of Rabbi Yonatan. Amru Yadan Chavran Bavlai Leprusha Kehai Taimah. Our Babylonian friends know so well how to explain things. Again, Rabbi Yonatan had come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but now that his view accorded with that of Rabbi Yochanan, he was much more disposed to the opinion of someone from Bavel as opposed to Rav, who he didn't agree with his position, and therefore he wasn't willing to accept that position from Bavel. Tana Rabbi Chir bar Yosef kamei de Rabbi Yonatan. Kol atzavar kulo kasher l'shchita mitabat hagdola an kanfei rea atachtona. When it comes to the area, the makom hashchita that you're allowed, you go from the tabat hagdola, from the upper tracheal, the largest tracheal ring at the top, all the way down to the area of the lungs. As Rashi points out over here, that this accords with the position we saw earlier in the Masechta of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, the machloket we saw in the first parak, and we, on the other hand, hold, like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that up to the Shipo Yakova, all the way up to the area of the peak of the larynx, that's where we think Lamata Kshira. From that point down, that's where we think it's Kasher. So we think an area that's higher, but wherever you think the uppermost level of Shkita is, that was already argued out in the first parak. What's really interesting us here is the lower point on the trachea, which is good for Shkita. And what he suggests over here is until you reach the kanfei reya, until you reach the wings of the lungs that surround the windpipe. So Amarava, tachtona shihi elyona. And when we're speaking about here the bottom, we're speaking about the bottom that is the top. So what he's explaining, Shani Omer, Koshu Poshetet Savara Brua, Ubavaj Lo Teanes. I'm going to tell you that I think that the windpipe that is visible is the amount of the neck that is visible when the animal is feeding and grazing, as long as it's not stretched out or pulled out. So what Rav is coming to explain or to help us understand is that this area that we consider Kasher L'Shchita, where we consider the lungs, is based on an animal, for instance, being hung when it's ready to be skinned or flayed. When they take the animal, after they've shefted the animal, they hang the animal by its hind legs up, and then it hangs downward from there. So now when he says, tachtona shehi elyona, when I say the bottom range of area where it's kosher to is uppermost part of the lungs, which are going to be the furthest down when the animal is hanging upside down. So that's the determination of until what point is the makom shchita is. Again, if you hang the animal up by its hind legs and its head is down towards the ground, so the tachtona here means the lowest most point of the lungs. But it's the lowest most point of the lungs when the lungs are upside down. When the animal is hanging upside down, that will be the highest point of the lungs. But that's the determination of where the cutoff is for the shchita. Now, in terms of determining where until that point is remember that the windpipe goes into the lungs, is submerged into the lungs itself. When the animal stretches out its neck, the windpipe extends out of that area of the lungs. So that windpipe that comes out of the lungs when the animal extends its head, that part of the windpipe, is that kosher for shchita or not? So Rava says to us that as long as the animal's neck is in a position where it would normally graze, the amount that it would extend its neck when it normally grazes, that's all considered to be outside of the lungs. Whereas anything that is taken out because you stretch the neck, you're a semi-human being, or you pull the neck towards you, and that extends the trachea, that area is not kosher for shchita. Even though at that point in time, it's beyond the lungs, the trachea is now extended beyond that last lobe of the lungs, nevertheless, it's not kasher for shchita because it's only out because you're stretching the neck or you're pulling it out. Its natural position is back below the upper lobes of the lung, and therefore that's not an area that is kasher the shchita. I would suggest that when it's either upright or when it goes to graze, it has to reach out a little bit to eat the grass. So those would be the natural positions of the windpipe, and those would be fine. It's only if it's pulled out artificially, if a human being's trying to yank it out, that becomes problematic. So if it's in its natural position, which means that the way it's active, when it's either upright or when it's grazing, those two will be fine. So now, Gemara continues. Boyi Rabbi Chanina v'itemi Rabbi Chananya ansa atzma mahu. If the animal itself extended the windpipe out, it wasn't done with human intervention to pull it out, but the animal itself, for whatever reason, extended its neck where it then brought the windpipe outside of the upper lobes of the lungs, what's the din? So Gemara says, teku, that's unresolved. And Rashi points out over here, uluchumra v'chein alocha. That anytime we leave a teku in treifot, then we go to chumra, and it would not be kasher. It would be classified as a treifa, and that would not be an area that is kasher l'shkita when the animal itself extends it outside of the lungs or outside of the lobes of the lungs. So now Gemara says, Yotiv Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Nafik milta b'minayu. They were sitting together, and from between them came out this memra. Anas b'simanim v'shachat psula. That if the simanim were pulled out and there was shkita done, then it's problematic, it's psula. Because again, the extension of the windpipe outside of its natural area inside of the lobes of the lungs, that area is not considered kasher. So that is problematic. But now the next statement is Nikev Hakane Lemata Minachazet. So what you would think now, let's think about the windpipe. We know what the din of a windpipe is. The din of the windpipe is that it has to be cut berov in order to be considered a treifa. So now when I say that the makom shkita ends at the top lobes of the lungs, that's where the makom shkita ends, is that where the trachea ends? And therefore the treifot that are extended in that area below no longer apply to that of the trachea, but now become the din of the lungs? Or is it that the area below the top lobes of the lung is still the trachea? It's just not an area that's kasher l'shkita. What is the din of the windpipe that is in that area beyond the top lobes of the lungs? But obviously it's not the lungs because it's still the windpipe. It's still the trachea that's extending into the lungs. So this is what they said. Nikev hakane lemata min hachaze. If it was a puncture in the kane below the chest area, nidon kireya. It has a din like the lungs. So they're making the point that once you reach beyond the point of the what is classified as the chazeh, as the chest, then those areas, that windpipe at that point is no longer has a din of windpipe, and therefore the cut of a rove is not what's going to make it into a treifa, but rather it's going to have a din like lungs. And the lungs are that nikev b'mashu, that if you have a puncture or a hole in it, that's going to make it pasul. So tan rabbanan ezu chazeh. Well, where is this chazeh that we're talking about now? Truthfully, as Rashi points out, the din of what we're looking for in the chazeh is for what the matnot kahuna are when it comes to the animal. One of the things that the kohanim get from the korban is the chazeh. How do we determine where the chazeh is on the animal? Obviously, it also has implications of nikava kanela matam in a chazeh. Below the chazeh, what is the definition of the area of the chazeh? Zeha ru'et akarka. It's the area of the animal that sees the ground. Lemata. Adatzavar, the karka lamata, adatzavar lamata adatzavar, lamala adakeris. And its height goes up to the area of the stomach. Hotech shte tzlalot, mishte defanot. He takes off two ribs from each side. Elech velech. Vizeu chazeh anitan lekohanim. This is the chazeh that's given to the kohanim. So the area that we're speaking about is from the area of the throat. Again, remember we said that the cutoff for the kaneh, for being classified as a windpipe versus the lungs, is the area where it enters into the lungs, and that really is the area that begins where the ribs begin. So the beginning area of the chazeh is from where the ribs of the animal begin. It's the area that faces the ground, the area that faces below the ribs onto the ground, and it comes up internally underneath the ribs up to the keres, up to the area where you have the stomach inside of the cow. When you say, it says here, you sever shteitz la'ot, the two ribs, Rashi says that it's not literally the ribs over here. You're not taking off any ribs, but you're taking off chotech beitz la'ot haktanot el yonot imo. Before the actual ribs, rib cage start, along the spine, there are two smaller ribs that extend out of the spine. Those two smaller ribs are what we're speaking about over here. That you get the two smaller ribs, along with the whole base of the animal, underneath that, the whole base of the animal, the fats and the flesh that go underneath, up to those two smaller ribs, and it extends back through the rib cage, all the way back to the area, as long as it's facing the ground or the bottom of the animal. So you can see that if you have a picture there, it's a picture of the starting point is from the time or the point where the windpipe ends and the rib cage begins. When the rib cage begins, the area that's facing the ground underneath, all the way back to the keres, the area of the Reuven that is there, as long as it's in the Reuven and facing the ground, all of that area belongs to the Kohanim, is classified as the Chazeh. The ribs themselves don't go. It's just the upper two ribs on the spinal cord that are coming along with that part of the Chazeh. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that it's the two on each side at the top, the two small ribs on this side on each top. From Rashi, it sounds like maybe just Bet Ketanot means one on each side. From Rashi, it's not clear. The Rabbeinu Chananel says it's four ribs, but they're the smaller ribs, not the real ribs of the animal. Yes, the flesh that's overlaying the ribs. Okay, now we're talking about moving on to the next treifa on the Mishnah. The next treifa on the Mishnah is Nikev Krum Shomoach, that there was a puncture in the film that is on the brain. So Rav Ushmuel de Amre Tarvayu, Karma Ilo, Afagav Dloinkov, Tata. There are actually two films that sit over the brain. And so when it comes to these two films, if the upper film is punctured, even though the lower film is still intact, then it's a treifa. Ve'amri lo, and some say adin kav tata. It actually has to puncture both films in order for it to be a problem. If the upper film is the only one that is punctured, then it would be kasher. You need it to puncture through the upper and the lower film. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni, v'simanech. What's the siman for this? Chaita demitnach bei mocha. It's the sack in which the brain is captured. So if you hold up the spinal cord, if you hold up the spinal cord with the brain inside of it, and you'll see that the cord will look like, with the brain encapsulated at the top, it'll look like someone's holding a sack, like you have a string, and at the bottom you have the brain that's encapsulated, that sack. So that's what you need to remember. Chaita demitnach bei mocha. It's the sack in which the brain is encapsulated. That's the siman of what you need to know in terms of what needs to be punctured in terms of the treifa. And then we have a even more of a clarification, which is Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan Rabbi Shul ben Levi, kenegdo bebeitzim nikar. Even though by the brain, it's not easy to see the two films, the first film, the outer film is, or the outer covering encasement is clear. The inner encasement is very hard to distinguish from the brain itself because it's clear or the same color as the brain. So since it's that way, it's hard to see the second encasement. But he says, if you look at the testicles of the testicles of the animal have the same thing. They have an outer encasement and then an inner film that is around the testicles. And over there, it's very clear to see that there are two encasements. There's the outer encasement plus the film around the testicle. And over there, since it's a different color, you're able to see it clearly. So if you look at the testicle and see that there's an outer encasement plus the inner film, you'll see that there's two layers. That same thing applies to the brain. The brain has these two layers. It has the outer encasement plus the inner film, which is not so easily visible. But once you've looked at it or you use the testicle as an example, then you'll know how to find it or see it when it comes to the brain. Amar Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Moach. What is classified as the moach? Where is the brain? When you look at the animal, how do we know what part of it is the brain? Kol mashe b'kdeira nidon kemoach. So the question at hand here is, what is considered brain, and what is considered the spinal cord, or the spinal column? So he says here, if you look, anything that's cooking in the pot, meaning that as we said before, that when you hold it upside down, there's an encasement that holds the brain in it. So anything that's in that area of the encasement, the larger area looks like it's in a pot, or in something that's encapsulating it, that's considered to be the brain. As soon as it starts to narrow, as soon as it starts to narrow, that already becomes nidon kechut ha-shidra. Umehechan matchil dimashech. What is that point? What's that threshold at which it begins to narrow? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, l'di mafarsh l'imine de Rabbi Shul ben Levi. And I was explained this position of Rabbi Shul ben Levi. Kemin shnei pulin yesh munachim al pi agdeira. That there are these two beans that are placed on top of the brain, and they are the beginning point at which the brain starts to narrow and it becomes the spinal cord. The English word for it is the occipital condyles, and they are above the cranium. So those two pieces here, if you look in the picture, there are two possibilities about what those pulim are. There's one that is the moach hakatan, as they call it, the smaller brain, the cerebellum. That's one opinion as to what these two pulim are. that it's the cerebellum. And then the second opinion is that it's these occipital condyles that are the tubulim, and that's where the chuta shidra begins. So the difference being that by the brain, the trefa is, if it's punctured by a hole, a nekev, that's the psul over there, whereas by the chuta shidra, you need to have it nifsak. You have to have it broken or cracked, severed, in order for it to be a psul. So we need to know what is classified as the brain and what is classified as chuta shidra. So now, minapulim, vilifnim, kilifnim, from these beans, an inward has a din of inward, minapulim lachutz, kalachutz. Upulin atzman, these beans themselves, any odea, whether it's the cerebellum or these occipital condyles, the area that they encompass, we don't know what it is. Umistavro kilifnim. And logically, it makes sense that they have a din of lifnim, and they have a din of the brain. Rabir mi abadak ba'ufa. He looked in a bird. And he saw that there were these two bean-like shapes at the beginning of the kdeira, of the pot, meaning the area that holds the brain. So he either saw the cerebellum or these occipital condyles, and he said, oh, now I understand what they were talking about, these two pulim, these two bean-shaped items that are at the top of the spinal column going in towards the opening or the area where the brain is encompassed. Trefa that we're going to discuss in the Mishnah is nikev alev lebeit cholulo, that you have to have the heart punctured all the way through to the cavity on the inside. We mentioned when we did it on the Mishnah that Tosafot says that all of the trefa are that way, that they have to be nikev lechalulo, that the nekev has to go all the way through to the cavity. The difference being by the heart is that it has a very thick muscle around it, and therefore the Mishnah went out of its way to point out there that it has to go all the way to the Beit Chalulot, that it has to reach all the way into the cavity, puncture the whole outer layer of the heart till it reaches the cavity on the inside. So by Rabbi Zera, the Beit Chalal Katan, we know that the heart has multiple chambers. Which chamber over here is considered a Beit Chalulot? Is it enough to go to the smaller chamber, the atrium, or the Beit Chalal Gadol? Or do you also, can you go all, or do you need to go all the way to the ventricle, which is the larger cavity on the inside? Do you have to reach all the way to the ventricle? Is it enough that you go to the atrium and that's already considered Beit Chalulot? Amalei Abaye, Maiti Baila. What's your question? Milo Tnan, didn't we have in the Mishnah when it came to the lungs? Rabbi Shimon Omer Achitina gave the Beit HaSimponot. When it came to the lungs, we said that the puncture had to reach the bronchi. Now, according to the Tanakhama, it could reach any of the smaller extended bronchi. According to Rabbi Shimon, it only is the main bronchi. It has to reach until the main bronchi to be problematic. So too over here, you're going to say the same thing about the heart. It'll have to reach the main cavity, the main cavity being the ventricle, and it won't be a trefa until it reaches that cavity. So Amar Barbe Tachlif, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ba'av Amar Rav, Ad Shitinakev the Simpona Gadol. That when he means the beta simponot, he means to the large bronchi. The smaller bronchi are not qualified. The Gemara says, how can you compare the lungs to the heart? Hat on the beta simponot katani. Over there, the term that's used is beta simponot, which is a specific term. It's asking you for a specific location, and beta simponot is the definition of that, is the main bronchi. Vehecha deshachpe simponot kulu. It's where all of the bronchi reach or pour into. I mean, it's the central area. That's why it's called the Beit HaSimfonot. The Beit, meaning the central area. V'hacha, the Beit Chalalo Ketani. Over here, it says to the cavity. Mali Chalal Gadol, Mali Chalal Katan. Why does it matter what the size of the cavity is? It's not anything that's defined by Beit Simfonot, which is an area where other bronchi come into. Here, it just says cavity. The cavity is big or small, so it doesn't matter whether it's the atrium and the ventricle. Whatever it reaches, that is problematic. Okay, now we're up to the next piece, which is Kaneh HaLev. Kaneh HaLev is the aorta. Rav Amar B'mashu, that the trefa by the Kaneh HaLev, by the aorta, according to Rav, is this anything, a mashu, like the esophagus. Shmuel Amar Birubo, it's a rove like the trachea. Hai Nihu Kaneh HaLev, what is the aorta? What's classified as a Kaneh HaLev? So Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Chelev Shal Gavei Tfanot, the fats that run along the walls of the rib cage. So the Gemara says, "Difanot salkadatcha." What do you mean that's in the walls of the rib cage? Ella shal gabe dofne reya, that run along the walls of the lungs. So the fats that run when you have the rib cage that covers over the lungs, the fats that sit on the walls of the lungs. Over there, if you pull away those fats, you'll be able to see the aorta that comes up from that area, bringing the blood out. So, Amar Meimar Mishmeder of Nachman, tlata kane havu. When you look at the heart, there are three main pipes coming out of the heart. Chad parish liba, one of them goes to the heart, the aorta. Chad parish the reo, one of them goes to the lungs. Vechad parish the kavda, and one of them goes towards the liver. So the one that goes to the heart, they're saying here is the aorta. The one that goes to the kavda liver is the vena cava. And then the parish the reo is the trachea itself. Because the way the heart sits over the lungs, it actually looks like the windpipe is coming down towards into the heart. So even though obviously the windpipe or the trachea itself never reaches into the heart, but just from anatomically, when you open up the animal, it looks like as if there's a pipe coming out of the heart, even though that's the trachea that belongs to the lungs. Parish the reo is either the trachea itself or the pulmonary artery, which is also something that would have extended out of the heart to give blood into the area of the lungs. So these three pipes that look like they're extending from the heart itself, one of them is the aorta, one of them is the vena cava, and the other one is the trachea itself, or the pulmonary artery. So dereya kereya, the one that's going into the lungs area, has a din like the lungs. Dekavdo, the one that has the liver, has a din like the liver, which we saw in the Mishnah that you have to be nital kulo, ad shelo nishdar mashu, it has to be totally removed. Delibo, the kana halev, which is what we discussed above, the aorta, is pligi. That's where Rav and Shmuel argue about what the din is. Is it mashu or is it birubo? Mar barchia matne ipcho. Mar barchia did it just the opposite. Dereya kikavdo, the one going to the lungs, has a din like the liver. The kavdo, the one going to the liver, kereya, has a din like the lungs. The libo, the aorta, plige, that's where they argue. So Azo Rabbi Chia bar Yosef, Amar l'shmait de Rav kamei de Shmuel, he told over this memra of Rav in front of Shmuel, Amalei, ihochi, if that's what Rav says, meaning about the aorta, Amar Abba lo yoda b'treifot v'lo klum. Abba Rav has no clue what he's talking about when it comes to treifot. We know that Rav was in Surah, and Shmuel was in Narda. So the movement of information went from the students that moved between these two yeshivot. And Shmuel now is hearing about the memra or the position of Rav. And he says about Rav, if that's what he thinks about the aorta, that it's berubo and not bemashuhu, then he doesn't know what he's talking about with treifot. Again, the word abba, we've just seen this before, is abba a term of endearment? Is it a term of respect? Or is it really Rav's name? I mean, that Shmuel, who was his peer, called him by his real name, that's abba. Those are all possibilities. The other thing that is just ironic about this is that we know when it comes to Machloket, Rav and Shmuel, that when it comes to Dinei Memonenot, Halacha is Kishmuel. When it comes to Isurei, Halacha is Kiraf. So over here, who's Shmuel, it says that Rav doesn't know what he's talking about with Treifot, even though Halacha is Kiraf when it comes to Isurei. So that's just an ironic part of this conversation. Nishvara Shidra. Now we're up to the Treifot that was mentioned in the Mishnah in terms of the severing or the breaking of the spinal column. So Tan Rabbanan, Chut HaShidra Shinifsak Berubo Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Afilu Nikev, that when it comes to the Chut HaShidra, what does it mean Nifsak? Nifsak has to be across the vov, according to Rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov says even a small puncture, a small hole in it will be sufficient to make it into a treifa. Hora Rabbi ki Rabbi Yaakov. When it came to Halacha LeMaaseh, Rabbi was choshesh for the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov, and even by a mashuhu, he made it into a treifa. Amar Rav Huna, Ein halacha ki Rabbi Yaakov. The halacha, nevertheless, is not like Rabbi Yaakov. V'kama rubo. How do you determine what the rov is over here? Rav amar rov oro. V'amila rov mocho. So over here is the rov, the spinal column itself, the skin, the foot that's around it, in it, the area that's encapsulating in it. Or is it rov mocho? Is it the membrane, which is the medulla, that sits around the spinal column? Manda marov mochol kosher kein bo voro. The one who says that the mocho is sufficient, then certainly if it's the oro, the encapsulation area, that certainly would make it into a treifa. Manda marov voro. The one who says that it's rovoro, rov mocho mai, would be the din if you cut the medulla, the area that's surrounding the liquid or the that it sits in, what would be the din there? Tashma, damar niyule, amar avhuna, niyule is the name of a chacha, rubo shamru, rovoro. So when it comes to the robe, we're talking about the skin, the flesh that's around the encapsulation of the spinal column. And moach zeh, that liquid, the medulla that's inside of it, lo mala velo morid, makes no difference. It's irrelevant in this case. Rav Nathan Rav and Havi Yotiv kamei derav, badak berovoro. He checked the outer encapsulation, Bodik Barov Mocho. And then he went to check the inner encapsulation. Samalei Imrovo Ro Kayam Mogzen Malbeno Morid. If you already got the outer encapsulation, then the inner liquids make no difference. Amar Rabba Barachana, Am Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Nitmarech. If the inside the spinal column the encapsulation liquefied, pasul. On the other hand, imnit masmes, if it softened, it's also pasul. What's the difference between mitmases and marech? Hamarakeh koshin ishpak kaiton. That's something so liquidy that if you put a hole in it, it pours out like any water or any liquid pour out of a pitcher. Mimasmesah koshin yachula mold. It still has some form to it. It doesn't flow like a liquid, but it doesn't have enough strength or form to it that if you stood it up, that it would be able to hold its own. It doesn't have shape to it anymore. It would collapse because it has no shape to it, but it's still not liquidy. It's not a full liquid, but it has no strength to it as being a solid. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, any yachod amod mipnei kavdo mai. If it can't stand up, not because of its form, but because of the weight. There's too much weight sitting on top of it, meaning the amount of liquid sitting on top would cause it to collapse on itself. What's the din there? The answer is teiku. And like everything else, we say teiku means the chumrah, and therefore would be classified as a treifa. Be Rav Amre, nit masmeis pasul. That's what we said before, the nit masmeis. Nit masmeis kasher. On the other hand, if some of the liquid, the spinal liquid that's there, wasted away, means some of it disappeared, it's not that it's liquidy, it's not that it's soft, it's just not there anymore, then it's kasher. You have missing liquid or whatever disappeared, that leaves it, it still remains kasher. Meitevei Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Behemash nit mazmeiz mocha treifa. So a behema that has nit mazmeiz mocha, where it wasted away the liquid around the brain, that's a treifa. So why? How come by the brain it's this way, by the spinal cord it's not? So hai hit nit mazmeiz itmar. That nit mazmeiz that Rabbi Shimon Elazar was talking about was not really nit mazmeiz wasted away, but rather nit mazmeiz where it softened up. And that we already said was a problem where a treifa. Ini, is that really true? Ini, is that really true? Va'levi havayotiv be masuta. He was sitting in the bathhouse. Chazul hau gavro. Saw this individual. Did tarya l'reshe. His head was shaking all over the place incessantly. Or if you look in the Masorat HaShatz, he says that he fell down on the ground and smacked his head against the wall or on the ground. And it was moving a lot. His brain, he got a concussion. Amar nit mazmeiz mochei dedein. This guy was nit mazmeiz. Lav delo chayi. Must be, when he said that, didn't mean he won't live anymore, said he is a treifa. Amar Rabbi, lo, lomar she'enu molid. Not coming to say that he's a treifa, but rather that he won't give birth again. So the nit mazmeiz over here is not meaning something that's a treifa, but rather it's kasher, he's still okay, but he won't give birth anymore, meaning that it's some sort of defect, but it's not something that is life-threatening in that sense, and that would accord with what we said before, that nit mazmeiz is kasher. Ad heichan chuta shidra. Until where is the spine? Amar Yehuda Mashmuel, Ad Bein HaPrashot, Rav Dima Reizak, to Ad Bein HaPrashot. So this actually, Rashi brings down two interpretations over here. I'll give you the two interpretations, but then I'm going to learn the Gemara like the first one, because Rashi favors that heavily. And that it's Bein HaPrashot here is talking about the sacrum. At the base of the spine, you have a bone that is the sacrum. In the sacrum, there are areas where the spinal column and the spinal cord starts to break off. There are nerve endings that come out of there that break off from the spinal cord. There are three of those, and that's what the Bein HaPrashot that we're talking about over here, there's three of them. The other interpretation that Rashi gives is that the sacrum itself has wings to it. Three, the bone is shaped in a way that has larger wings and they get smaller as you go down. Those ears or wings go down, and there are actually three of them. So that's the second interpretation that Rashi brings. He favors the first interpretation. That's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. When does the spinal column goes down until the area of the sacrum where the sacral nerves come out? He was going to leave in town. He was going to Bechuzai. He went before Rabbi Yehuda and he wanted to know exactly until where was the shidra, the windpipe. Show me where that is in the animal. He says, okay, bring me an animal that was shechted and I'll show you. I brought him a very fat goat that was shechted. It's submerged too much that I can't see it. I mean, they didn't have time to cut it away and to look at it, but it was submerged too much because the fats were there. And I can't find it. Aitele kachush, then he brought him a very skinny goat, hamalei blitantve, that they are sticking out too much. Now, whether that means that they're up too high and therefore they got skinned when the animal was skinned, or they're up too high and that which is normally not visible is now visible, so I can't really tell. Okay, I'm not going to be able to show it to you visibly, but I'm going to teach you the memra, what we have, the mesorah that we have. This is what Shmuel says. Arachat trefa, shlishit ksheira, shnia eniyoteya. When it comes, again, we're going with this first interpretation of Rashi, when it comes to the nerves breaking off of the spinal column, the first branch that comes off until that point is clearly a trefa. That's part of the chuta sidra. Shlishit, after the third branch, is ksheira. That below, that is no longer the chuta sidra. It has a din like basar, and that will be ksheira. Shnia, eni yodea. The second branch is an area that I don't know. So, bay Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua, ad v'ad bichlal, odilma ad v'lo ad bichlal. When he says until the first branch, what does that mean? Does that mean until the first branch begins? That is considered to be the spinal column. Or when he says ad v'ad bichlal means all the way through the first branch, meaning into the point where you reach the second branch. So how much is included when we say the first branch? The first branch just simply mean until the point that it makes the break and the branch happens. Or does it mean the first branch means from the first split until the second split, and it includes that area? Or it's the only the area until that point. So he says, by Rav Papa, im timtzer omar ad v'lo ad bichlal, if you say that it's not included, meaning that only up to the branch is considered to be the chuta shidra, and also below the third branching of the nerves, from that point lower is considered kasher, pi parasha mahu. The actual split itself, what is the din? Where the nerves themselves split, that location, not above them, not below them, but the actual location of where they split, what's the din over there? Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question from the opposite side. In din slower ad ve'ad bichlal, if you say that it includes the area, meaning that here it's clear that the Pir Parsha is included, that when it talks about the branching, it includes the branching area plus past them till the next branch, then I have this question. Parsha atzma mahu. The branch itself, the nerve endings that are going off on the first branch, what is their din? Now it's clear that the spinal cord extends past that first branch all the way to the second branch. But the branches themselves, what is the din of that branch? If it has a slice in it, is it nidon ke shidra or is it not nidon ke shidra? That's the question that would be asked, posed. So they each pose it based on one of the two possibilities. If it's adbad bichlau, then he poses the possibility, what is the branch themselves? What's the din? On the other hand, if we say ad v'lo ad bichlau, but Papa posed the question is, what about the branches themselves? Where the branch itself breaks off, what is the din? Tashma, our parsha tidon kibasar. The branching, or the parsha itself, will be like flesh. My lav, parsha rishona vishnia. Sounds like it means the first branch and the second branch. So if that's the case, that teaches us that even though the spinal area between the branches might be classified as the spine, the branches themselves, nidon kibasar, have a din like flesh. So the nerves are coming off, don't have a din in the spinal cord. And that would be the conclusion, or the answer to the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah. It says, no, tidon basar could be the shlishit, the third branch. The third branch, we know, even the spinal cord below that is considered basar, so the branches themselves are also considered basar. So I can't prove anything from that. All right, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with the bird, or the issue in the bird, tomorrow.